Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
Man, I almost said 27. Not yet. Day number 7 of our every single day live, reading the Bible in 90 days. Hopefully you guys have got a lot out of this. I have. I'm enjoying this. It's such a privilege to be able to read the word. I was thinking about the believers in China. I've posted those videos before where they're crying and kissing the Bible because they don't have access like we do. And here we are. We're able to live stream Bible reading. So super excited about it. Let me know in the chat where you guys are watching from. We're using the NLT version and we're using the YouVersion or Life Church Bible app, Bible in 90 days. The plan is linked in the description so you can get it there. On these chapters that we go through, guys, that kind of feel maybe like mundane or unnecessary, we're going to power through these, guys. It's still important. There's still something you can get out of these. There's still revelation of how detailed God is, how intricate he is. So don't tune out when we're doing like Leviticus, which we start tomorrow, or we're doing the dedication of the priests and the priesthood. It's important. So let's stay with it, okay? So everybody have their Bibles. You can follow along on screen as well. I should probably open that up here. We are in Exodus 29, verse 1. This is the ceremony you must follow when you can consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Take a young bull and 2 rams with no defects. Then, using choice wheat, flour, and no yeast, make loaves of bread, thin cakes mixed with olive oil, and wafers spread with oil. Place them all in a single basket and present them at the entrance of the tabernacle along with a young bull and 2 rams. Present Aaron and his sons at the entrance of the tabernacle and wash them with water. Dress, I just realized how blue it things are. I'm blue, dabba-dee-dabba-dye. I mean, look at the lights, look at my sweatshirt. 65 in my office, so constitutes wearing a sweatshirt. Anyway, sorry, I realized how blue everything is. Verse 4, present Aaron and his sons at the entrance of the tabernacle and wash them with water. Dress Aaron in priestly garments, the tunic, the robe worn with the ephod itself, and the chest piece. Then wrap a decorative sash on the ephod around him. Place the turban on his head and fasten the sacred medallion to the turban. Then anoint him by pouring oil over his head. Next, present his sons and dress them in their tunics. Wrap the sashes around the waist of Aaron and his sons and put their special head coverings on them. Then the right to be priesthood will be theirs by law forever. In this way, you will ordain Aaron and his sons. Bring the young bull to the entrance of the tabernacle where Aaron and his sons will lay their heads on his head. Then slaughter the bull in the Lord's presence at the entrance of the tabernacle. Put some of its blood on the horns of the altar with your finger and pour out the rest at the base of the altar. Take all the fat around the internal organs, the long lobe of the liver and the kidneys and the fat around them and burn it all on the altar. Then take the rest of the bull, including its hide, meat, and dung and burn it outside the camp as a sin offering. Next, Aaron and his sons must lay their heads on one of the rams. Then slaughter the lamb and splatter the blood against all sides of the altar. Cut the ram into pieces and wash off the internal organs, the legs, and set them alongside the head and the other pieces of the body. Then burn the entire animal on the altar. This is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a pleasing aroma, a special gift presented to the Lord. Now take the other ram and have Aaron and the sons lay their hands on its head. Then slaughter it and apply some of its blood to the right earlobes of Aaron and his sons. And also put, let me make sure that my mic is on because it was muted. Okay. And also put on the thumbs of their right hands and the big toes of their right feet and splatter the rest of the blood against all the sides of the altar. Then take some of the blood from the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his sons on their garments. In this way, then they and their garments will be set apart as holy. Since this is the ram for the ordination of Aaron and his sons, take the fat of the ram, including the fat of the broad tail and the fat around the internal organs, the long lobe of the liver and the 2 kidneys and the fat around them along with the right thigh. This is just preparing us for Leviticus tomorrow. Then take 1 round loaf of bread, 1 thin cake mixed with olive oil, and 1 wafer from the basket of bread without yeast that was placed in the Lord's presence. Put all these in the hands of Aaron and his sons to be lifted up as a special offering to the Lord. Afterward, take the various breads from their hands and burn them on the altar along with the burnt offering. It is pleasing aroma to the Lord, a special gift for him. Then take the breast of Aaron's ordination ram and lift it up in the Lord's presence as a special offering to him. Then keep it as your own portion. Set aside the portions of the ordination ram that belong to Aaron and his sons. This includes the breast and the thigh that were lifted up before the Lord as a special offering. In the future, whenever the people of Israel lift up a peace offering, a portion of it must be set aside for Aaron and his descendants. This is their permanent right, and it is a sacred offering from the Israelites to the Lord. Aaron's sacred garments must be preserved for his descendants who succeed him, and they will wear them when they're anointed and ordained. The descendants who succeed him as a high priest will wear these clothes for 7 days as he ministers in the tabernacle on the holy place. Take the ram used in the ordination ceremony and boil its meat in a sacred place. Then Aaron and his sons will eat this meat, along with the bread in the basket at the tabernacle entrance. They alone may eat the meat and bread used for the purification in the ordination ceremony. No one else may eat them, for these things are set apart as holy. If any of the ordination meat or bread remains until the morning, it must be burned. It may not be eaten, for it is holy. This is how you ordain Aaron and his sons to their offices, just as I commanded you. The ordination ceremony will go on for 7 days. Each day you must sacrifice a young bull as a sin offering to purify them, making them right with the Lord. Afterward, cleanse the altar by purifying it. Make it holy by anointing it with oil. Purify the altar and consecrate it every day for 7 days. After that, the altar will be absolutely holy, and whatever touches it will become holy. These are the sacrifices you're to offer regularly on the altar each day. Offer two lambs that are a year old, one in the morning and one in the evening. With one of them, offer 2 quarts of choice flour mixed with 1 quart of pure oil of pressed olives. Also, offer 1 quart of wine as a liquid offering. Offer the other lamb in the evening, along with the same offerings of wheat, flour, and wine as in the morning. It'll be a pleasing aroma, a special gift presented to the Lord. These burnt offerings are to be made each day from generation to generation. Offer them in the Lord's presence at the tabernacle entrance. Then I will meet you and speak with you. I will meet the people of Israel there, in the place made holy by my glorious presence. Yes, I will consecrate the tabernacle on the altar, and I will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will live among the people of Israel and be their God, and they will know that I am the Lord their God. I am the one who brought them out of the land of Egypt so that I could live among them. I am the Lord their God. That's powerful. Chapter 30. Then make another altar of acacia wood for burning incense. Make it 18 inches square and 36 inches high, with horns at the corners carved from the same piece of wood as the altar itself. Overlay the top, sides, and horns of the altar with pure gold, and run a gold molding around the entire altar. Make 2 gold earrings and attach them on the opposite sides of the altar below the gold molding to hold the carrying poles. Make the acacia wood and overlay it with gold. Place the incense altar just outside the inner curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant in front of the Ark's cover, the place of atonement. That covers the table inscribed with the terms of the covenant. I will meet you there. Every morning when Aaron maintains the lamps, he must burn fragrant incense on the altar. And each evening when he lights the lamps, he must again burn incense in the Lord's presence. This must be done from generation to generation. Do not offer any unholy incense on this altar, or any burnt offerings, grain offerings, or liquid offerings. Once a year, Aaron must purify the altar by smearing its horns with blood from the offering made to purify the people from their sins. This will be a regular annual event from generation to generation, for this is the Lord's most holy altar. Verse 11, then the Lord said to Moses, whenever you take a census of the people of Israel, each man who is counted must pay a ransom for himself to the Lord. Then no plague will strike the people as you count them. Each person who is counted must give a small piece of silver as an offering to the Lord. This payment is a half a shekel based on the sanctuary shekel, which is equal to 20 gerahs. All who have reached their 20th birthday must give the sacred offering to the Lord. When this offering is given to the Lord, purify your lives, making you right with him. The rich must not give more than the specified amount, and the poor must not give less. Receive the ransom money from the Israelites and use it to care for the care of the tabernacle. It'll bring the Israelites to the Lord's attention, and it'll purify your lives. Verse 17, then the Lord said this to Moses, make a bronze wash basin with a bronze stand. Place it between the tabernacle and the altar and fill it with water. Aaron and his sons will wash their hands and feet there. They must wash with the water whenever they go into the tabernacle and appear before the Lord, and whenever they approach the altar to burn up their special gifts to the Lord, or they will die. This just makes me think, guys, how grateful are we for the blood of Jesus? That we don't have to do all of this. We don't have to do any of this anymore. That because of the blood of Jesus, we can now approach the throne of grace boldly and we won't die. And we don't have to do all the sacrificing and washing and cleansing. Like, we can just right now boldly approach the throne. Take a second to thank Jesus for what he's done. Verse 21, they must always wash their hands and feet or they'll die. This is a permanent law for Aaron and his descendants to be observed from generation to generation. Then the Lord said to Moses, collect choice spices, 12.5 pounds of pure myrrh, 6.25 pounds of fragrant cinnamon, 6.25 pounds of fragrant calamus, and 12.5 pounds of cassia as measured by the weight of the sanctuary shekel. Also get 1 gallon of olive oil, like a skilled incense maker. Blend these ingredients to make a holy anointing oil. Use this sacred oil to anoint the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its accessories, and the incense altar. The altar, burnt offering, and all its utensils, and the wash basin with its stand. Consecrate them to make them absolutely holy. After this, whatever touches them will also be holy. Anoint Aaron and his sons also, consecrating them to serve as priests. And say to the people of Israel, this holy anointing oil is observed from generation to generation. It must never be used to anoint anyone else, and you must never make any blend like it for yourselves. It is holy, and you must treat it as holy. Anyone who makes a blend or anoints someone other than the priest will be cut off from the community. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather fragrant spices, resin, droplets, mollusk shell, and galbanum, and mix these fragrant spices with pure frankincense, weighed out in equal amounts. Using the usual technique of the incense maker, blend the spices together and sprinkle them with salt to produce a pure and holy incense. Grind some of the mixture into a very fine powder and put it in front of the Ark of the Covenant, where I will meet you in the tabernacle. You must treat this incense as most holy. Never use this formula to make this incense for yourselves. It is reserved for the Lord, and you must treat it as holy. Anyone who makes this for personal use will be cut off from the community. Chapter 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I've specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. These names, man. I filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones, and in carving wood, he's a master at every craft. I have personally appointed Oliab, son of Ahasamach, of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. Moreover, I've given special skill to all the gifted craftsmen so they can make all the things I've commanded you to make. The tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark's cover, the place of atonement, all the furnishings of the tabernacle, the table and utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all of its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, the wash basin and stand, the beautiful stitched garments, the sacred garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons to wear as they minister as priests. The anointing oil, the fragrant incense for the holy place, the craftsmen must make everything as I've commanded you. The Lord then gave these instructions to Moses. Tell the people of Israel, be careful to keep my Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day is a sign of the covenant between me and you for generation to generation. It's given so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. You must keep the Sabbath day, for it is a holy day for you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death, and anyone who works on that day will be cut off from the community. You have 6 days each day for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day, it must be a Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. Anyone who works on the Sabbath must be put to death. The people of Israel must keep the Sabbath day by observing it from generation to generation. This is the covenant of obligation for all time. It is a permanent sign of my covenant with the people of Israel. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heaven and the earth, but on the seventh day, he stopped working and was refreshed. When the Lord finished speaking with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave them two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, written by the finger of God. Chapter 32, the gold calf. When the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come down from the mountain, I just preached about this like a month and a half ago, guys. Go to my playlist and watch this. There's a picture of a golden calf on the thumbnail. When the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come down, they gathered around saying, come on now, make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. So Aaron said, take the gold rings from your ears and your wives and your sons and daughters and bring them to me. All the people took the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. Then Aaron took the gold, melted it down, and molded it into the shape of a calf. When the people saw it, they said, O Israel, these are the gods who brought us out of the land of Egypt. And guys, how quickly do we turn to false gods and think they deliver us from what only God delivered us from? And another thing I want to say is, the earrings are nothing wrong with earrings, but how many of you know you can turn anything, even if it's innocent, into an idol? And in this case, they took innocent gold earrings and turned them into an idol. So don't turn anything in your life into an idol. Preach. Verse 5. Aaron saw how excited the people were, so he built an altar and said, tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord. The people got up early the next morning to sacrifice the burnt offerings and peace offerings. After this, they celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. The Lord told Moses, quick, go down the mountain. Your people who you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. How quickly they have turned from me and what I've commanded them to live. They've melted down gold and made a calf, and they've bowed down and sacrificed to it. They are saying, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. Then the Lord said, I've seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Now leave me alone so that my fierce anger can blaze against them and I'll destroy them. I'll make you, Moses, into a great nation. But Moses tried to pacify the Lord. Oh Lord, why are you so angry with your own people who you brought out of the land of Egypt with such great power and a strong hand? Why let the Egyptians say their God rescued them with the evil intention of slaughtering them in the mountains and wiping them from the face of the earth? Turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind about this terrible disaster you've threatened against your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You bound yourself with an oath saying, I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars, and I'll give them all of this land that I promised to your descendants that they will possess it forever. So the Lord, look at this, changed his mind about the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people. How many of you know we need intercessors that are able to change the mind of God with their prayers? Moses literally changed the mind of God by crying out saying, Lord, spare them. Then Moses turned and went down the mountain. He held on the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, which is the Ten Commandments. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. These were God's work. The words on them were written by God himself. When Joshua heard the boisterous noise shouting, he said, it sounds like there's a war in the camp. But Moses said, no, it's not a shout of victory or a wailing of defeat. I hear the sound of a celebration. When they came near the camp, I want to preach all of this. Just go watch my sermon on it a few weeks ago. All right, I'm not going to preach everything here. When they came near the camp, Moses saw the calf and the dancing, and he burned with anger. He threw the stone tablets to the ground, smashing them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf they made and burned it up, and then ground it into powder and threw it into water and forced the people to drink it. Ooh, little calf smoothie there. Golden calf smoothie. Finally, he turned to Aaron and demanded, what did these people do that you brought such a terrible sin upon them? Don't get upset, my Lord, he said. You yourself know how evil these people are. They said to me, make us gods who will lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt. So I told them, whoever has gold jewelry, take it off. When they brought it, I simply threw it in the fire and out came this calf, which obviously he's lying. Moses saw that Aaron had let the people get completely out of control, much to the amusement of their enemies. So he stood at the entrance of the camp and shouted, all who are on the Lord's side, come here and join. And all the Levites gathered around him. Moses told them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to each of you. Take your swords and go back and forth from end of the camp to the other and kill everyone, even your brothers, your friends, and your neighbors. The Levites obeyed Moses' command and about 3,000 people died that day. Then Moses told the Levites, today you've ordained yourselves for service for God, for you obeyed him even though it meant killing your own sons and daughters. Today you have earned a blessing. Brutal. The next day Moses said to the people, you've committed a terrible sin, but I will go back up to the Lord on the mountain, perhaps. I'll be able to obtain forgiveness for your sin. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, what a terrible sin they've committed. They've made gods, of gold for themselves. But now, if you will only forgive their sin, but if not, erase my name from the record you've written. But the Lord said, no, I will erase the name of everyone who sinned against me. Now go, lead the people to the place I told you about. Look, my angel will lead the way before you, and when I come to call the people to account, I will certainly hold them responsible for their sins. Then the Lord sent a great plague upon the people because they worshiped the calf that Aaron had made. I wonder how many of us could be under the judgment of God because we're worshiping idols. Chapter 33. Then the Lord said to Moses, get going, you and the people who brought up from the land of Egypt, go to the land that I swore to give you to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them, I will give this land to your descendants, and I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to this land that flows with milk and honey, but I will not travel with you for your stubborn and rebellious people. If I did, I would destroy you all along the way. When the people heard these stern words, they went into mourning and stopped wearing their jewelry and fine clothes. For the Lord had told Moses to tell them, you're a stubborn and rebellious people. If I were to travel with you for even a moment, I would destroy you. Remove your jewelry and fine clothes and while I decide what to do with you. So from the time they left Mount Sinai, the Israelites wore no more jewelry or fine clothes. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrance of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover over the entrance while the Lord spoke to Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their tents, and inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. One day, Moses said to the Lord, You've been telling me, take these people to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you'll send with me. You have told me, I know you by name and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your way so I can understand more fully and enjoy your favor and remember that this nation is your very own people. Then the Lord said, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I'll give you rest and everything will be fine for you. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me when me went on me and on your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us set your people and me apart from all the people on the earth. The Lord said to Moses, I will indeed do what you've asked, for I look favorably on you and I know you by name. Moses said, then show me your glorious presence. The Lord replied, I will make all my goodness pass before you and I will call you out by name, Yahweh, before you. I will call out my name. Okay, that's a big difference there. I'm like, wait, he called Moses Yahweh? I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face. Sorry, I lost my place. Where am I at? You may not, verse 20. You may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live. The Lord continued, look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen. Wow, that is so powerful there. Chapter 34, a new copy of the covenant. Then the Lord told Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones. I will write on them the same words that were on the tablets you smashed. Be ready in the morning to climb up to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me on top of the mountain. No one else may come with you. In fact, no one is to appear anywhere on the mountain. Don't even let the flocks or herds graze near the mountain. So Moses chiseled out two tablets of stone like the first ones. Early in the morning, he climbed Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him. He called out his own name, Yahweh. Then the Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their grandchildren and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even the children in the third and fourth generation. Moses immediately threw himself to the ground and worshiped, and he said, O Lord, if it's true that I found favor with you, then please travel with us. Yes, this is a stubborn and rebellious people. Please forgive our iniquity and our sins. Claim us as your own special possession. Then the Lord said, Listen, I'm making a covenant with you in the presence of all your people. I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation, and all the people around you will see the power of the Lord, the awesome power I will display for you. But listen carefully to everything I command you today. Then I'll go ahead of you and drive out the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. But be careful not to make a treaty with these people who live in the land you're going. If you do, you'll follow their evil ways and be trapped. Instead, you must break down their pagan altars, smash their sacred pillars, and cut down their Asherah poles. You must worship no other god, for the Lord, whose very name is jealous, think about that, whose very name is jealous, is a God who is jealous about relationship with you. You must not make a treaty of any kind with the people living in the land. They lust after their gods, offering sacrifices to them. They'll invite you to join them in their meals, They will invite you to join them in their sacrificial meals, and you will go with them. Then you'll accept their daughters who sacrifice to other gods as wives for your sons, and they will seduce your sons to commit adultery with me by worshiping other gods. You must not make any gods of molten metal for yourselves. You must celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days, the bread you eat must be made without yeast. For just as I commanded you, celebrate this festival annually at the appointed time in early spring in the month of Abib, for that is the anniversary of your departure from Egypt. The firstborn of every animal belongs to me, including the firstborn male from the herds of cattle and your flocks and sheep and goats. A firstborn donkey may be brought back from the Lord by presenting a lamb or young goat in its place. But if you do not buy it back, you must break its neck. However, you must buy back every firstborn son. No one may appear before me without an offering. If you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day you must stop working, even during the seasons of plowing and harvest. You must celebrate the festival of harvest with the first crop of the wheat harvest and celebrate the festival of the final harvest at the end of the harvest season. Three times each year, every man in Israel must appear before the Lord, the God of Israel. I will drive out other nations ahead of you and expand your territory, so no one will covet and conquer your land while you appear before the Lord your God three times each year. You must not offer the blood of my sacrificial offerings together with any baked goods containing yeast, and none of the meat with the Passover sacrifice may be kept over till the next morning. As you harvest your crops, bring the very best into the house of the Lord. You must not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. Then the Lord said this to Moses, write down all these instructions, for they are presented the terms of the covenant I'm making with you in Israel. Moses remained there on the mountain with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. In all that time, he ate no bread and drank no water. And the Lord wrote the terms of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, on the stone tablets. When Moses came down Mount Sinai, carrying the stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. So when Aaron and the people saw the radiance of his face, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them and said to Aaron and them and the leaders of the community, come over, and he talked to them. Then all the people of Israel approached him, and Moses gave them all the instructions the Lord gave him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking, he covered his face with a veil. But whenever he went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he would remove the veil until he came out again. Then he would give the people whatever the Lord had said and instructions he had given him. And the people of Israel would see the radiant glow of his face, so he would put the veil over his face until he returned to speak with the Lord. Chapter 35, Instructions for the Sabbath. Then Moses called together the whole community of Israel and told them, these are the instructions the Lord has commanded you to follow. You have 6 days every week for ordinary work. The seventh day must be a Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. And anyone who works on that day must be put to death. You must not even light a fire in your homes on the Sabbath. Then Moses said to the whole community of Israel, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take sacred offering for the Lord. Let those generous hearts present the following gifts to the Lord: gold, silver, and bronze, purple, blue, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat hair for cloth, tan ram skins and fine goatskin leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil and the fragrant incense, onyx stones and other gemstones to be set on the ephod and the priest's chest piece. Come, all of you who are gifted craftsmen, construct everything the Lord has commanded: the tabernacle and its sacred tent, its coverings, clasps, frames, crossbars, posts, and bases, the ark and its covering poles, the ark's cover, the place of atonement, the inner curtain to shield the ark, the table, its carrying poles, and all the utensils, the bread of the presence, okay, for light, the lampstand, its accessories, lamp cups, olive oil for lighting, the incense altar, the carrying poles, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense, the curtain for the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar burnt offering, the bronze grating of the altar and carrying poles and utensils, the wash basin and its stand, the curtains for the walls of the courtyard, the posts and their bases, the curtain for the entrance to the courtyard, the tent pegs of the tabernacle and the courtyard and their ropes, the beautifully stitched garments for the priest to wear while ministering to the holy place, the sacred garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons to wear as they minister as priests. So the whole community of Israel left Moses and returned to their tents. All whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of its rituals, and for sacred garments. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing, and they brought the Lord offerings of gold, brooches, earrings, rings from their fingers, and necklaces. They presented gold objects of every kind as a special offering to the Lord. All those who owned the following items willingly brought them: blue and purple scarlet thread, fine linen and goat hair for cloth, and tan ram skins and fine goatskin leather. And all who had silver and bronze objects gave them as sacred offerings to the Lord. And those who had acacia wood brought it for the use of the project. All the women who were skilled in sewing and spinning prepared blue and scarlet thread and fine linen cloth. All the women who were willing to use their skills to spin goat hair into yarn, the leaders brought onyx stones and the special gemstones to be set in the ephod and the priest's chest piece. They also brought the spices and olive oil for the light, the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense. So the people of Israel, every man and woman who was eager to help in the work of the Lord, had given them through Moses, brought their gifts, and gave them freely to the Lord. Then Moses told the people of Israel, The Lord has specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He's a master at every craft. And the Lord has given him both Oliab, son of Ahisamech, the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach the skills to others. The Lord has given them special skills as engravers, designers, embroideries in blue, purple, and scarlet on thread and fine linen cloth and weavers. They excel as craftsmen and as designers. So guys, these gifts that some of you have to build and create and draw, like these are gifts the Lord gives people. Like it's interesting. He gave them these gifts to design the tabernacle that he wanted them to build. He gave them those gifts. That's cool. Chapter 36. The Lord has gifted Bezalel, Oholiab, and other skilled craftsmen with the wisdom and ability to perform any task involving in building the sanctuary. Let them construct and furnish the tabernacle just as the Lord has commanded. So Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and all the others who were specifically gifted by the Lord and were eager to get to work. Moses gave them materials donated by the people of Israel as sacred offerings for the completion of the sanctuary. But the people continued to bring additional gifts each morning. And some of you are mad that your pastor asked for a tithe or an offering. Finally, the craftsmen who were working on the sanctuary left their work. They went to Moses and said, "The people have given more than enough to complete the job the Lord has commanded us." So Moses gave the command, and this message was sent throughout the camp. "Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts." Imagine, guys, there's so much coming in. It's like, don't give anymore. Don't try to help anymore at the church. There's too many of you trying to give and help and all that. He says, "The people stopped bringing their sacred offerings. Their contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project." Verse 8, "The skilled craftsmen made 10 curtains of fine woven linen for the tabernacle. Then Bezalel decorated the curtains with blue, purple, and scarlet thread with skillfully embroidered cherubim. All 10 curtains were exactly the same size, 42 feet long and 6 feet wide. 5 of these curtains were joined together to make one long curtain, and the other five were joined to make a second long curtain. He made 50 loops of blue yarn and put them along the edge of the last curtain in each set." Excuse me, guys, if I mess up here and there. It's not easy to read like this type of thing. It's not like a story. It's just like measurements and stuff. So anyways, excuse me if I mess up here and there. Verse 13, "Then he made 50 gold clasps and fastened the long curtains together with the clasps. In this way, the tabernacle was made of one continuous piece. He made 11 curtains of goat hair cloth to serve as a tent covering for the tabernacle. These 11 curtains were exactly the same size, 45 feet long and 6 feet wide. Bezalel joined 5 other curtains together to make one long curtain, and the other 6 were joined to make a second long curtain. He made 50 loops for the edge of each large curtain. He also made 50 bronze clasps to fasten the long curtains together. In this way, the tent covering was made of one continuous piece. He completed the tent covering with a layer of tanned ram skin and a layer of fine goatskin leather. For the framework of the tabernacle, Bezalel constructed frames of acacia wood. Each frame was 15 feet high and 27 inches wide. With 2 pegs under each frame, all the frames were identical. He made 20 of these frames to support the curtains on the south side of the tabernacle. He also made 40 silver bases, 2 bases under each frame, with the pegs fitting securely into the bases. For the north side of the tabernacle, he made another 20 frames. With their 40 silver bases, 2 bases under each frame, he made 6 frames for the rear, the west side of the tabernacle, along with 2 additional frames to reinforce the rear corners of the tabernacle. These corner frames were matched at the bottom and firmly attached to the top of every single ring, forming a single corner unit. Both of these corner units were made the same way. So there were 8 frames at the rear of the tabernacle, set in 6 silver bases, 2 bases under each frame. Then he made crossbars of acacia wood to link frames, 5 crossbars for the north side of the tabernacle, and 5 for the south side. He also made 5 crossbars for the rear of the tabernacle, which faced west. He made the middle crossbar to attach halfway up the frames, and it ran all the way from one end of the tabernacle to the other. He overlaid the frames with gold and made gold rings to hold the crossbars. Then he overlaid the crossbars with gold as well. For the inside of the tabernacle, Bezalel made a special curtain of finely woven linen. He decorated it with blue, purple, and scarlet thread and skillfully embroidered cherubim. For the curtain, he made 4 posts of acacia wood and 4 gold hooks. He overlaid the posts with gold and set them in 4 silver bases. Then he made another curtain of the entrance of the sacred tent. He made it out of finely woven linen and embroidered it with exquisite designs using purple. I keep saying purple instead of blue. Blue. We got a lot of blue in here. Blue, purple, and scarlet thread. This curtain was hung on gold hooks attached to 5 posts. The posts with their decorated tops and hooks were overlaid with gold, and 5 bases were cast from bronze. Chapter 37. We're getting there, guys. We're getting there. I think we're going to 40 here today, so we're almost there. Next, Bezalel made the Ark of Acacia Wood, a sacred chest 45 inches long, 27 inches wide, and 27 inches high. He overlaid it inside and outside with pure gold, and he ran a molding of gold all around it. He cast 4 gold rings and attached them to its 4 feet, 2 rings on each side. Then he made poles from acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. He inserted the poles into the rings in the sides of the ark to carry it. Then he made the ark's cover, the place of atonement, from gold. It was 45 inches long and 27 inches wide. He made 2 cherubim from hammered gold and placed them at 2 ends of the atonement cover. He molded the cherubim on each end of the atonement cover, making it all 1 piece of gold. The cherubim faced each other and looked down on the atonement cover. With their wings spread above it, they protected it. Then Bezalel made the table of acacia wood, 36 inches long, 18 inches wide, and 27 inches high. He overlaid it with pure gold and ran a gold molding around the edge. He decorated it with a 3-inch border all around, and he ran a gold molding along the border. Then he cast 4 gold rings for the table and attached them to the 4 corners next to the 4 legs. The rings were attached near the border to hold the poles and were used to carry the table. He made these poles from acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. Then he made a special container of pure gold for the table, bowls, ladles, jars, and pitchers to be used in pouring liquid offerings. Then Bezalel made the lampstand of pure hammered gold. He made the entire lampstand and its decorations of 1 piece, the base, center stem, lamp cups, buds, and petals. The lampstand had 6 branches going out from the center stem, 3 on each side. Each of the 6 branches had 3 lamp cups shaped like almond blossoms, complete with buds and petals. The center stem of the lampstand was crafted with 4 cups shaped like almond blossoms, complete with buds and petals. There was an almond bud beneath each pair of branches where the 6 branches extended from the center stem, all made of 1 piece. The almond buds and branches were all of 1 piece with center stem, and they were hammered from pure gold. He also made 7 lampstands for the lampstand, lamps for the lampstand, lamps, snuffers, and trays, all of pure gold. The entire lampstand, along with its accessories, was made from 75 pounds of pure gold. Somebody look up how much money that would be today. 75 pounds of pure gold. Write it in the chat. Write it on the replay. Comments on the replay or the chat. Doesn't matter. Write it somewhere. That's I'm guessing, like, how many? Millions of dollars, right? 75 pounds of pure gold. Then Bezalel made the incense altar. I don't know why I can't say his name. Bezalel. Then Bezalel made the incense altar of acacia wood. It was 18 inches square and 36 inches high, with horns at the corners of the carved from the same piece of wood as the altar itself. He overlaid the top, sides, and horns of the altar with pure gold, and he ran a gold molding around the entire altar. He made 2 gold rings and attached them to the opposite side of the altar below the gold molding to hold the carrying poles. He made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. Then he made the sacred anointing oil and fragrant incense using the technique of a skilled incense maker. Chapter 38, Building the Altar of Burnt Offering. Next, Bezalel used acacia wood to construct the square altar of burnt offering. It was 7.5 feet wide, 7.5 feet long, and 4.5 feet high. He made horns for each of its corners, so the horns and the altar were 1 piece. He overlaid the altar with bronze. Then he made all the altar utensils of bronze, the ash buckets, shovels, basins, meat forks, and fire pans. Next, he made a bronze grating and installed it halfway down the side of the altar under the ledge. He cast 4 rings and attached them to the 4 corners of bronze grating to hold the carrying poles. He made the poles from acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. He inserted the poles through the rings on the sides of the altar, and the altar was hollow, was made from planks. Bezalel made the bronze wash basin and bronze stand where the bronze mirrors donated by the women who served at the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 9. Then Bezalel made, every time I say his name, I say it different. Bezalel. It's okay. We'll just keep changing it up. Then Bezalel made the courtyard, which was enclosed with curtains made of finely woven linen. On the south side of the curtains were 150 feet long. They were held up by 20 posts set securely in 20 bronze basins. Again, guys, don't click off. Stay with us. I know it's a lot. He hung up the curtains with silver hooks and rings. He made a similar set of curtains for the north side, 150 feet of curtains held up by 20 posts set securely in bronze bases. He hung the curtains with silver hooks and rings. The curtains on the west end of the courtyard were 75 feet long, hung with silver hooks and rings and supported by 10 posts set into 10 bases. The east end, the front, was also 75 feet long. The courtyard entrance was on the east side, flanked by two curtains. The curtain on the right side was 22 and a half feet long, and it was supported by three posts set into three bases. The curtain on the left side was also 22 and a half feet long and was supported by three posts set into three bases. All the curtains used in the courtyard were made of finely woven linen. Woven. Each post had a bronze base, and all the hooks and rings were silver. The tops of the posts of the courtyard were overlaid with silver, and the rings hold up the curtains were made of silver. If you guys are ever wondering how people make those graphs of the tabernacle and all that, it's because of this is how specific things are. You can literally make a mock-up. I bet if you like type this into some program, it will just come up with an image of all this. He made the curtains for the entrance to the courtyard of finely woven linen and decorated it with beautiful embroidery in blue, purple, and scarlet thread. It was 30 feet long, and its height was 7.5 feet, just like the curtains of the courtyard walls. It was supposed to be four posts, each set securely in its own bronze base. The tops of the posts were overlaid with silver, and hooks and rings were also made of silver. All the tent pegs used in the tabernacle and courtyard were made of bronze. This is an inventory of materials used in building the tabernacle of the covenant. The Levites compiled the figures as Moses directed. All right, I know where we're going here. And Ithamar, son of Aaron, the priest, served as a recorder. All right. Okay. Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made everything as the Lord commanded Moses. He was assisted by Oliab, son of Ahisamech, from the tribe of Dan, a craftsman expert at engraving, designing, and embroidering with blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen cloth. The people brought special offerings of gold totaling 2,193 pounds. How much money is that? Somebody put that in the comments. 2,193 pounds of gold, as measured by the weight of the sanctuary shekel. This gold was used throughout the tabernacle. The whole community of Israel gave 7,545 pounds of silver, as measured by the sanctuary shekel. The silver came from the tax collected from each man registered in the census. The tax is one beka, which is half of a shekel based on the sanctuary shekel. The tax was collected from 603,000 men who had reached their 20th birthday. How specific, that's so cool. I forget how specific this is. The hundred bases for the frames of the sanctuary walls and the posts supporting the inner curtain required 7,500 pounds of silver, about 75 pounds for each base. The remaining 45 pounds of silver was used to make the hooks and rings to overlay the tops of the posts. The people also brought a special offering of 5,300 pounds of bronze, which was used for casting the bases of the posts at the entrance of the tabernacle and for the bronze altar with its bronze grating and all the altar utensils. Bronze was also used to make the bases for the posts that supported the curtains around the courtyard, the bases for the curtain at the entrance of the courtyard, and all the tent pegs for the tabernacle on the courtyard. Chapter 39, clothing for the priests. The craftsmen made beautiful sacred clothing of blue, purple, and scarlet cloth, clothing for Aaron to wear while ministering in the holy place, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Bezalel made the ephod of finely woven linen and embroidered it with gold and with purple and blue and scarlet thread. He made gold thread by hammering out thin sheets of gold and cutting it into fine strands. With great skill and care, he worked it into fine linen with blue, purple, and scarlet thread. That is incredible. The ephod consisted of two pieces, front and back, joined at the shoulder pieces. The decorative sash was made of the same materials, finely woven linen, embroidered with gold and with blue and purple and scarlet thread, as the Lord had commanded Moses. They mounted the two onyx stones in settings of gold filigree. The stones were engraved with the names of the tribes of Israel as a seal is engraved. They fastened these stones on the shoulder piece of the ephod as the reminder that the priest represents the people of Israel. All this was done as the Lord commanded. Bezalel, my boy here, made the chest piece with great skill and care. He made it to match the ephod using finely woven linen embroidered with gold and with blue and purple and scarlet thread. He made the chest piece of a single piece of cloth folded from a pouch of 9 inches square. They mounted four rows of gemstones on it. The first row contained a red carnelian, pale green peridot, and an emerald. The second, a turquoise, a blue lapis lazuli, and a white moonstone. The third, an orange jacinth, that tied me up, and a purple amethyst. The fourth, a blue-green beryl, an onyx, and a green jasper. All these stones were set in gold filigree. Each stone represented one of the 12 tribes of the sons, 12 sons of Israel, and the name of the tribe was engraved on it like a seal. To attach the chest piece to the ephod, they made a braided cords, a pure gold thread. They also made two settings of gold filigree and two gold rings and attached them to the top corners of the chest piece. They tied the two gold cords to the rings on the chest piece, and they tied the other ends of the cord to the gold setting on the chest shoulder pieces of the ephod. Then they made two more gold rings and attached them to the inside edges of the chest piece next to the ephod. Then they made two more gold rings and attached them to the front of the ephod below the shoulder pieces, just above the knot where the decorative sash was fastened to the ephod. Of course. They attached the bottom rings of the chest piece to the rings on the ephod with blue cords. And this way, the chest piece was held securely to the ephod above the decorative sash. All this was done as the Lord commanded. Bezalel made the robe that is worn with the ephod from single piece of blue woven cloth with an opening for Aaron's head in the middle of it. The opening was reinforced with woven color so it would not tear. They made pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and attached them to the hem of the robe, and they also made pure gold and placed them between the pomegranates. Oh, wait, I already read that. With bells and pomegranates alternating all around the hem, this robe was to be worn whenever the priest ministered before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. They made tunics for Aaron and his sons from fine linen cloth. The turban and his special head coverings were made of fine linen, and the undergarments were also made of fine woven linen. The sashes were made of finely woven linen and embroidered with blue, purple, and scarlet thread, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Finally, they made the sacred medallion, the badges of holiness, of pure gold. They engraved it like a seal with these words, "Holy to the Lord." They attached the medallion with a blue cord to Aaron's turban, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Moses inspects the work. And so at last, the tabernacle was finished. The Israelites had done everything as the Lord commanded, and they brought the entire tabernacle to Moses. The sacred tent and all its furnishings, bars, posts, and bases, the tent coverings, tan ram skins, and fine goat skin, the inner curtain, the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, we've done this before. We're going to do it again. The Ark of the Covenant and its carrying poles, the Ark's cover, the place of atonement, the table and all its utensils, the bread of the presence, pure gold lampstand with its symmetrical lamp cups, all of its accessories, the olive oil for lighting, the gold altar, the anointing oil and fragrance incense, the curtain for the entrance of the sacred tent, the bronze altar, the bronze grating and its carrying poles and utensils, the wash basin with its stand, the curtains for the walls of the courtyard, the posts and their bases, the curtain for the entrance to the courtyard, the ropes and tent pegs, all the furnishings to be used in worship at the tabernacle, the beautifully stitched garments for the priest to wear while ministering in the holy place, sacred garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons as they minister to the priest. We did it. So the people of Israel followed all the Lord's instructions to Moses. Then Moses inspected all of their work, and he found that it had been done just as the Lord commanded him, and he blessed him. All right, last chapter here, guys. Here we go. Chapter 40. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Set up the tabernacle on the first day of the new year. Place the Ark of the Covenant inside and install the inner curtain to enclose the Ark within the most holy place. Then bring in the table and arrange the utensils on it and bring the lampstand and set up the lamps. Place the gold incense altar in front of the Ark of the Covenant, then hang the curtain at the entrance of the tabernacle. Place the altar of burnt offering in front of the tabernacle entrance. Set the wash basin between the tabernacle and the altar and fill it with water. Then set up the courtyard around the outside of the tent and hang the curtain for the courtyard entrance. Take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all its furnishings to consecrate them and make them holy. Anoint the altar burnt offering and its utensils to consecrate them. Then the altar will become absolutely holy. Next, anoint the wash basin and its stand to consecrate them. Present Aaron and his sons at the entrance of the tabernacle and wash them with water. Dress Aaron with the sacred garments and anoint him, consecrating him to serve me as a priest. Then present his sons and dress them in their tunics. Anoint them as you did their father, so they may also serve me as priests. With their anointing, Aaron's descendants are set apart for the priesthood forever from generation to generation." Moses proceeded to do everything just as the Lord commanded. So the tabernacle was set up on the first day of the first month of the second year. Moses entered the tabernacle by setting down its bases, he erected it by setting down its bases, inserting the frames, and attaching the crossbars and setting up the posts. I feel like I can get a job as like a construction worker after this. Then he spread the coverings over the tabernacle for framework and put on the protective layers just as the Lord commanded. He took the stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant and placed them inside the ark. Then he attached the carrying poles to the ark and set the ark's cover, the place of atonement, on top. He then brought the Ark of the Covenant onto the tabernacle and hung the inner curtain to shield it from view, just as the Lord commanded him. Next, Moses placed the table in the tabernacle along the north side of the holy place, just outside the inner curtain. He then arranged the bread of the presence on the table before the Lord, just as the Lord commanded him. He set the lampstand in the tabernacle across from the table on the south side of the holy place. Then he lit the lamps in the Lord's presence, just as the Lord commanded him. He also placed the gold incense altar in the tabernacle in the holy place in front of the inner curtain. On it burned the fragrant incense, just as the Lord commanded him. He hung the curtain at the entrance of the tabernacle and placed the altar burnt offering near the tabernacle entrance. On it, he offered a burnt offering and a grain offering, just as the Lord commanded him. Moses is a very obedient man. Next, Moses placed the wash basin between the tabernacle and the altar, and he filled it with water so the priests could wash themselves. Moses and Aaron's sons used water from it to wash their hands and feet. Whenever they approached the altar and entered the tabernacle, they washed themselves just as the Lord had commanded. Then he hung the curtains forming the courtyard around the tabernacle and altar and set up the curtain at the entrance of the courtyard. So at last, Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because a cloud settled over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, whenever the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out on their journey following it. When the cloud of the Lord hovered over the tabernacle during the day, and at night fire glowed inside the cloud so the whole family of Israel could see it, and this continued throughout all their journey. Amen. That is awesome, guys. That is awesome. We are done. And tomorrow we have Leviticus. All right. We're starting the book of Leviticus tomorrow. We did it, guys. Day number 7. I'm going to hang out with the chat here for a bit, but we did it. Day number 7 of the Bible in 90 days. Book of Exodus is done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Chat, what did you think? Is it hard to listen to? Is it hard to read? We got to go through. It just shows how detailed God is. That's the bottom line. God. Okay, hold on, guys. My camera is tweaking. Give me 1 second. My camera's glitching out. 1 second. No, my thing's frozen. Hold on. Hello? All right, anyways. My camera decided to freeze, so that's cool. Anyway, what's going on, y'all? How was today? What did you think of it? Tomorrow we start Leviticus, which is going to be very, very interesting. For those of you asking, we are reading the 90-Day Bible Challenge. I know as I'm reading, it's just hard to engage, but let me just show you the app for it once again. I know you guys are like, you've showed me this a million times, but people keep asking in the chat, and so I'm just going to keep showing you guys. Okay, so you're going to download the Bible app, the YouVersion or Life Church. I think they're called the same thing. And it's Bible in 90 days. Bible in 90 days. This is what it looks like. Let me go to plans because everybody keeps asking over and over again every stream. I have it linked in the description as well, but I want to make sure people are following along. And it's never too late to join this. If you feel like you're left behind already, you're not left behind, all right? You can still join us at any time. These are on the replay. So this is it right here. 4 down. Go to plans. Hold on, let me go to plans on the Bible app. It's at the bottom. When you open the app, at the very bottom middle, it says plans. And then it's the 4th one down. It's right, the camera's backwards. Right there. Good thing I just cut my nails. Bible in 90 days. That's the one that you want. That is what we are on. We're on day number 7. So you can just jump on. Okay, other people are asking in the chat about the replay. This is on replay on YouTube. So if you go to the live tab, not only are we uploading them every day on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, audio, and all of that. So Revival Lifestyle Podcast, you can go to that and find all this in audio and all my other streams in audio. But also, if you go to the live tab, you're going to see the live tab. Everything's going to be there as well. Okay. The live tab will have all of these archived. I was going to unlist them, but I'm not going to unlist them. I was going to unlist them and leave them in the playlist, but I won't unlist them because then the YouTube algorithm won't recommend them to new people. So there you go. You can go catch up too as well. If you're commuting, if you have a lot of time, you can go catch up and drink your golden calf smoothie while you are catching up on the Bible. Okay. Day 7. Going good. Let's keep pushing, guys. We have Leviticus tomorrow. Stay with me. I don't want to lose you. Stay with me. Every one of you matter. We've been averaging about 1,000 people on every day, which is amazing. My mom said the word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I love the word of God. Yes. Stay with me. But we got Leviticus tomorrow, so it's going to be good. It's going to be good. All of the Bible's good. All of the Bible's good. Why doesn't the Old Testament have red letters? Because the red letters in the New Testament is Jesus speaking. And in the Old Testament, it's not Jesus speaking. It's God the Father speaking to Moses. So that's why the letters aren't red. But good question. The red letters are Jesus speaking. That's why they're red. Okay. Furry Attack. The Blazing Furries. Release the Blazing Furries. We can do this. I love this, guys. I love doing this. I love all of you guys in here. I'm just blessed. I'm blessed that you guys are all in here and we're doing this and it's happening. Great. Okay, so let me answer another question. And if you're like, I've heard you answer this before, well, there's new people. It's live. So people are just constantly jumping in, as you guys know. Well, first of all, let me say thanks to the mods, because the mods are always holding it down. When Alyssa and Candace were reading, I was going to like time people out that were saying crazy stuff. And before I could even click, I wanted to ban somebody. I wanted to mute someone. I'm like, just let me have fun and mute someone and ban someone for saying crazy stuff. My mods were too quick. They wouldn't even let me ban anyone because they were banning people instantly. So the mods are just amazing. Amazing mods. Okay, all right, that's off the point. I love all you mods. Thank you. And a mod is a moderator. They moderate the chat. And I know some of you are like, you banned me. Listen, if you don't want to get banned, don't say crazy stuff. It's super simple. I could literally go on your channel or your comments after they ban you and see what you were commenting. And I've yet to see anybody falsely get banned that wasn't saying something crazy. So it's like, it's very simple. If you don't want to get hit by the ban hammer, just be an adult. Just be normal, all right? Anyway, yeah, I'll let Carl on for a minute. Okay, you haven't seen him in a while. Okay, this is what I was going to say. I will still be doing my Monday night teachings and my Tuesday night podcasting. Those will still be going on. So we will be live Monday at 2 and then live again at 6 and then live Tuesday at 2 and then live again at 6. So those are, yeah, we're doing it. So look forward to that. We're doing the Book of Hebrews right now. If you didn't watch our last Monday's Book of Hebrews, this is just me personally. That was my favorite, I think, verse by verse ever. It was just awesome. I felt the flow. It was just good. The content's so good because it's the Bible. It's not like I'm writing the content. It's the Bible. So anyways, go watch the Monday night Book of Hebrews. Go to my live tab. That's where everything's at. The video tab only has like every week or two I post a video. Got to go to the live tab. That's where you get all the content. And we live in a world that's everything's just, I want a quick video. Give me a 3-minute, 60-second. I want to tell you, I can't get anything out in 60 seconds. I can't get anything that I want to teach. I can't do it in 3 minutes or 8 minutes. So we do 2 hours, 1 hour. It is what it is. It is what it is. We are kind of like the anti of what you're supposed to do on YouTube, because you're supposed to make quick, short videos to get attention and all that for all the people that are like goldfish that TikTok has created. Everyone's a goldfish now. They have no attention span. But my videos are actually the opposite. They're just very, very long. So if you're commuting, if you're an adult and you can actually listen for more than 20 minutes, then you'll like it. Are these saved? Yes, they are saved, Dee Dee. Thank you for asking. They are saved. If you want to catch up, Dee Dee, just go to my YouTube channel and go to the live tab, right? It says like home, videos, live. Click live, go to day one, and you can catch up. And here's the thing. If you're not caught up, that's fine. Just join in. Just join in where we are, and you're doing the Bible 90 days with us. We're not legalistic. I recommend catching up, but you don't have to. It's not a required thing, okay? All right? The giving links are on screen. We have no video sponsor, so the video is sponsored by my book, How to Cast Out Demons, Everything You Need to Know About Deliverance. You can get this on Amazon. It's, I think it's like $13 with 1 day shipping, free shipping. It's cheap, but it's called How to Cast Out Demons. And the link's in the description. There's the video sponsor, okay? The Tabernacle is worth $64 million. Somebody said they did the math. Okay, so if the Tabernacle gold was today, it's $64 million worth of gold. It's amazing. And I'm subscribed. Yeah, make sure you hit the subscribe button. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. You got kicked off? YouTube will sometimes kick people out. It's just the server. There's a bunch of issues. We're live. So the tech is, you know, sometimes things happen. Sometimes I go to go live and then it doesn't work. And then I have to make a new stream key. And then sometimes the camera freezes. Sometimes the mic is glitching. And some of it I could fix on my end. Other times it's the YouTube server. It's their end. So like the audio will be good on Facebook, but not on YouTube. But on my end, it's all good. On my end, it's all good. Brothers of Counter A Media Culture doing the long read? Yes, for sure. Alyssa will be on more as well. I have other family that are going to be on and read too. And we're just going to keep going. Take it one day at a time. Thanks for doing this. The girls were lots of fun as well. Wasn't that funny? If you guys didn't watch the stream with my kids, that was hilarious. We're all competitive, guys. You're like, you're so intense when you're playing games. We're all competitive here. We take it serious, okay? But yeah, I got to make some shorts out of that because that was hilarious. That game was so funny. Okay, what else was I going to say? I don't remember. I have dates coming up soon. February 23rd, I'll be preaching at Legendary Church in Antioch, California. And then March 16th, I will be speaking Sunday morning and Sunday night in North Georgia Revival. I'll post this very soon on my website. How was the first week of the 90-Day Bible Challenge? It was great. It was great. I think probably, yeah, Jared's going to be doing Mondays. So I'm going to be, I think we're still in Leviticus on Monday, but I'm starting Leviticus tomorrow. I think as we do this and get in the rhythm, it'll become easier and easier. So this was the first week. We're trying to get it along with our schedule. Like I said, our kids are homeschooled now and all that. Get the rhythm down. The days that I'm busy, I'll pre-record, stream, all that stuff. I already told you guys about that a bunch of times. But my point is, we're getting it down. The first week's probably the hardest, and then it'll just get even easier as we go. But it's been great. It's been amazing. Blessed that you guys are all here. I definitely didn't expect to have 1,000 people every day on live, which is really, really cool. I'm also doing, I told you guys this as well, no caffeine for 90 days. And I'm over the headaches now. We're over the hill. The first week, they say, is the hardest. But now we are good. Yesterday and the day before, I was like, I think I might be regretting this. I'm going to do, and the Lord did not speak to me, by the way, to do no caffeine. So those of you are like, did the Lord tell you to? No, he didn't. I just decided to, because I'm doing these readings. I don't want to be anti-jittery, none of that. I already am kind of like that already. So as you guys can tell, but I was like, let me just cut out caffeine for these 90 days and just be able to focus and really pay attention to what we're doing. But I want to make it clear. It wasn't like the Lord convicting me or telling me not to do any caffeine. I just decided not to for just, it'll just be better. But anyways, okay. I'll say all that to say that I feel good now with no headache. Finally, this is the first day of no pounding headache, which is great. Carl is a repented pigeon. Okay, I'm going to get off here in a minute, guys. We have stuff we have to do today, but I love you all very much. You guys are amazing. Okay, I'm going to go get something to eat. You guys are awesome. Leviticus tomorrow. Join me tomorrow. I know it's Saturday, but cheer me on. Let's stay going. Guys, we got a long time to go. We have 83 more days. We're not even halfway. We're not even near a quarter. We're going to push. So Leviticus tomorrow and Sunday, and then Monday, Jared, I think, finishes Leviticus. He's going to be doing every Monday, which is really helpful for me because I'm preparing my teachings on Monday night. And so, yeah, maybe I could find someone to do Tuesdays as well. That'd be cool. That's the way I have my podcast and my teaching day. I could have it off to lock in, you know? I'm pretty much locked in from 3 p.m. till like 9 or 10 p.m. on Mondays. Well, actually, now maybe 8 or 9, from 3 to 8 or 9. So it's nice if Jared does the two, I will have a, you know, extra hour to get ready and all that. So grateful. Okay. I'll see you all tomorrow. I don't feel like I have to stay on super long every day because I'm live every single day. And some days I will engage after. Some days I'll be like, all right, guys, I got to go do stuff. But we're here. I love you all. Thank you, mods. You can partner here. You can monthly partner. We do have a prayer call. Let me just keep saying this as well. Our Thursday prayer call is 1 p.m. now. Thursday at 1 p.m. to make sure that you guys are there. Wait, did I just see Cabrina in the chat? Cabrina, were you in the chat? I think I just saw you somewhere. Yes, Cabrina, we love you. Everybody, please pray for Cabrina. Just remember that name, Cabrina. Write it down in your prayer list. We're believing for supernatural healing. Cabrina is literally as close as you can get to a blood relative of mine. This was my mom's best friend my entire life, all growing up. I literally thought she was my blood aunt, and these were my blood cousins until I was like 12 or 13 years old. I didn't even know because we were that close to them. So please, guys, write in your prayer list, Cabrina. Be praying for her. We're believing for a miracle, divine healing. The Lord's hand is on her, but I want you guys all to write that down in your prayer list today, okay? So please be praying for her. We're believing for a miracle. She really needs a miracle. She really needs a miracle. So if I've asked you one thing to do this week, pray for Cabrina, okay? I love you guys all so much. Salute to all you soldiers. I will see you guys tomorrow at 2:00. Okay. Love you guys. Love you, Cabrina. And make sure, guys, again, be praying for Cabrina. We're going to be getting a testimony back from her of how God supernaturally healed her. We're going to be seeing a testimony soon. All right. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.